Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, it seems to be almost every parent's favorite time of the year. And while we love the summer and we get to spend time with our children, back to school kind of gives us a deep breath and a sigh of relief that we know that all day our kids are going to be busy learning stuff and growing their brains and being in school where we can feel like they are taken care of and safe. And while the kids may not look at this as such a great time of year, it is certainly a time of year that we need to go over a few things with our children, make sure that they're ready to tackle the next school year. My guest today is Dr. Katherine Williamson. She's a pediatrician in Orange County, California, and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to the show, Dr. Williamson. So let's start with getting ready for that first day. And even before that first day, kids stay up later in the summer. They sleep later if they don't have early camp. Maybe they're not reading or even looking at a piece of paper. So what do we do now to get them ready for that impending first day?
Absolutely, Melanie. Thank you so much. Those are great questions. Summer is so much fun, and it's where kids can cut loose and relax a little bit. But starting to think about the school year is a time to start thinking about a more regimented schedule, and oftentimes it can be really daunting for parents to be heading in that direction. So things that you can do as a parent right now is to, in terms of the reading, it's good to have your kids start reading things that they could be potentially reading in their English classes in this upcoming year, to start getting back in the habit of reading, or even if it's just a fun Harry Potter book or something like that, because oftentimes kids are spending a lot of time outdoors and they're spending a lot of time on the computer, a little less time reading for some kids. So that's good to just get them back in sort of the mental mindset. Another thing that you can do in terms of the schedule is really start thinking about their bedtime and their wake time. So a lot of kids, especially adolescents and teenagers, tend to slip to a later bedtime and a later wake-up time. It's a good thing maybe about 2 to 3 weeks before the school year starts to start scaling that back, usually by about an hour or so every few days until you get to the appropriate bedtime and start waking them up earlier, because it does take a few weeks to really get back in the mode on that daily schedule.
Well, now you and I talked for briefly a minute off the air about late starts and school. And of course, the kids are all a fan of this because they all want to sleep in a little bit, and especially as they get into those teenage years. So what is coming down the pike, do you think, with late start?
You know, it's really interesting. There's been a lot of research in the recent years on how adolescents need much more sleep than they get, as well as they have what's called a delayed phase cycle, where basically much before 10 or 11 p.m., it's just harder for their bodies to fall asleep. And by proxy, they're waking up later. And so the expectations for adolescents to go to bed at a reasonable hour and be getting up for a zero period at 7 a.m. just doesn't work with their biological rhythms. So the American Academy of Pediatrics has an official recommendation that middle and high schools start across country start no earlier than 8:30 in the morning. Now, this, can pose some issues, right, with after-school issues and parents' work schedules, but it is such an important thing for kids to get really good sleep that this is probably going to be coming down the pipeline. I'm in California, and right now we have what's called Senate Bill 328, where there is legislation to get this changed. So whether it's months or years down the road, it's possible that for the parents out there, your school might be having this late start. And of course, if we all think back to our adolescent years, wouldn't this have been a great thing?
Well, it certainly would. And also, though, getting that earlier sleep at night is as important as that extra couple of hours in the morning, I personally feel. But I know, like you say, sometimes the kids just can't go to bed that early. It's just not in their circadian rhythms. Now, what about that first day? So we got our little guys that are going, and they're really nervous because they don't know. And then I've got a teenager who's going to high school for the first time, one of my kids, and one's a senior. So I've got that kind of both ends of the spectrum there, and she's terrified of that let's call it the cafeteria syndrome, walking around with the tray, not sure where you're going to sit.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's that nerves that's coming down for the first day. What do we do to help our children with the nerves?
That's an excellent question. And I love how you pointed out that it really can happen at any age range, right? Whether it's the first day of kindergarten or heading off to high school or beyond. But the same skills can really be applied to any age range, which is for parents to help their children remember positive aspects of school in the past. So, you know, times where maybe they might have been nervous on the first day the year before or a few years before, and maybe they came back at the end of the school day full of energy and excited because they met new friends or they had a new activity, things like that to bring back those positive memories, and also normalizing it. I know what can help with kids really of all ages is for them to know that nervousness is a normal part of going back to school. They're not the only ones who are nervous, but everybody is nervous going back. And maybe as a parent, you could actually say, hey, I remember when I was heading into fifth grade or seventh grade or first grade, and I was really nervous, and then I met this friend, and, you know, things got better throughout the day in terms of my nervousness. So making it relatable, normalizing it, and remembering the positive aspects of school in the past is the key things to focus on.
I think that's great advice, and as you say, for the little kids, oh, you're going to meet new friends and remember when you met little, you know, Joni or whoever. And taking them back to that. And for high school, they're going there with a lot of friends that they already have. So you can kind of reinforce that. Now, this is I'm an exercise physiologist, Dr. Williamson, and this is one of my pet peeves is the backpack situation. My daughter, yeah, who is a tiny little peanut, has this backpack that weighs half as what she does. And it pisses me off on a regular basis. She's got her Chromebook. And then she's got this social studies, you know, syllabus. And I'm like, you don't need to bring that back and forth every day. You can leave that at school or leave it at home and we can copy pages. And then the math binder. And it's so heavy, Dr. Williamson. And they refuse to be that kid that's pulling the backpack around.
Right. Because it's not considered cool.
It's so not cool.
So that's, you know, it's an ongoing challenge. And, you know, there's a few recommendations to try and make the backpack more feasible and not so painful and bad for the back. You know, one is just making sure it's a well-fitted backpack. That in and of itself can disperse the weight in a way that it's not damaging to the spine. One of the best ways to make sure that the fit is really good is making sure that the bottom sits at the waist. It's good to have a strap that comes around the waist. If you can make sure that your child uses it, that's sometimes a bit of another challenge. But that way, the waist is taking the bulk of the weight as opposed to your shoulders and the lower back. Also, you also want to make sure it's padded. The shoulder straps are padded. The back is padded. And if it's an older backpack that they've had for a good year or for a few years, you know, make sure that it's not getting ripped or torn in places where poking things can be coming out. And I think the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, you want to try to help them feel comfortable, but you also have to make sure that they're not doing things that are, you know, cool, quote unquote, and using it inappropriately, such as oftentimes kids wear it on one strap as opposed to wearing it on both shoulders, or one strap on one shoulder as opposed to both shoulders, and that can cause a lot of strain. Making sure you're using both shoulder straps. And as far as packing lightly, the goal is about 10 to 20% of the body weight. That sometimes is difficult to attain as kids get higher in education, but you can try to have an extra binder at home or have a book that they don't always have to take with them to school.
Yeah, see, that's what I think, that it's like, you know, they can leave some of the stuff. And I actually, as a parent, make my daughter and my son go through their backpacks every single month and take out the pieces of paper down at the bottom and the old snacks that they never took out, anything that will make it less heavy. So now we've got getting to school. So some kids are lucky enough to be able to walk to school. Some get a ride and some take the bus. You know, buses don't typically have seat belts. So what do you want parents to know about safety and getting their kids to school?
So as far as seat belts, that's an important point. And that is one of the first questions I recommend, that if a child is going to be riding a bus to school, that's one of the first questions the parent should ask. And, you know, it's very well known that seat belts are obviously going to be safer. And this is something that you can't do on an individual level. You need to do it on a much bigger level. So I would talk to the school. I would talk to whoever their using as the bus association, and really try to advocate for seatbelt use. More and more buses that are going to schools are having seatbelts. But sometimes even those who do have it, kids don't use it. So, of course, if seatbelts are there, make sure you encourage your child to use a seatbelt, because not everyone does. Other things in terms of bus safety is to teach your child to always wait for the bus to come to a complete stop before moving towards the bus. Always staying in the view of the bus driver. So if you can see the bus driver, he or she can see you. And never walking behind the bus. The number of accidents that happen every year from easily avoidable bus accidents are staggering. So it's really important to make sure that kids are very safe in how they maneuver around the bus.
That's really a good point. And now on to nutrition. So the summer is ice cream and sometimes junk food and sitting around. And now we need to get them ready for a little bit more healthy eating, the snacks that they're going to have in the day, which could consist of carrots and red pepper slices. I mean, you know, it sort of is different when we're packing those lunches and snacks. So what about nutrition? How do we get them ready for that sort of routine eating breakfast? Nice, good breakfast. Lunch is going to be at 11:45, you know, the whole schedule.
A great question. And this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, because nutrition is so important for kids. We know that if they have a nutritious breakfast and has some form of protein in it, which is so important to maintain your blood sugar throughout the day, the kids do better in school. They have improved concentration. They have more energy. They actually can perform better academically. So it's a really, really key thing. First and foremost, just make sure that your child is eating breakfast. I talk to so many of my patients who they're not hungry in the morning, or they don't have enough time, but making sure that eating breakfast is a priority, and then what you eat is also very important. So that Frosted Flake sugary cereal is not going to get them throughout the day. And as I mentioned, protein is really important to make sure that their blood sugar stays stable throughout the day. So a hard-boiled egg or any other forms of eggs. You can have peanut butter. You can have any form of nuts, assuming that they don't have a nut allergy. And even dairy in and of itself has some protein as well. As far as snacks, I also recommend to try to do the less sugary options, because when kids eat that sugar, their energy level is going to skyrocket and then just completely plummet. And that's when you see sometimes the kids falling asleep later in the afternoon. And then, of course, with the lunch, making sure they have a nutritious lunch as much as possible. One thing I wanted to point out is there's a lot of schools that offer meal programs, and they vary. Some of the meal programs are fantastic, and they have some really wonderful healthy lunches. Some are not as healthy. And so it's good to talk with your children about what options they're choosing if they're going to be doing the meal program. And some of them have what's called a card swipe program. So I have discovered sometimes, even in my appointments with kids, unbeknownst to the parent until that time, that the kid was using their card swipe to get multiple snacks, not healthy snacks, throughout the day and never actually truly had a lunch. So really just touching base with your child about what they're eating and, you know, so they have an understanding of what they're putting in their body is really important.
Well, also in some schools now with that card swipe program, you can go online and see what your kids are swiping their card for and
exactly.
What they bought. And so
yeah,
it's a good idea. I mean, I got on my son once about that. I'm like, what is this? And, you know, some of the sweetened drinks. And I was like, Clayton, you're not, I don't want you using this money for that stuff, you know. So get a yogurt or get a banana or something else, a hard-boiled egg. I don't care. But I said, but no more of this sugary, dye-infested things. But now, before we wrap up, I would love for you to summarize developing good homework and study habits. At the end of the summer, they're not even, homework is the furthest thing from their mind. So wrap it all up for us, Dr. Williamson, with your best advice for getting our kids ready to go back to school and developing those good homework and study habits now.
Absolutely. So one of my most important tips, I think, for studying is really creating a good homework environment space. Oftentimes, kids are doing their homework in the middle of the kitchen, and the dog's running around, and the TV's on in the background, and just not the best homework environment space. So trying to make sure that there's some safe, quiet place, you know, away from as many distractions as possible is really important. And another key thing is that they don't have their phone or other electronic device sitting right next to them. That's a question that when I often ask kids how long they spend on their homework, I find out that the reason they're spending so long is because they're inefficient, because they're checking Snapchat or Facebook or Instagram during the time of doing their homework. So no TV, no electronics on or nearby when they're doing their homework is a key thing. And I think using media as a treat after they finish their homework is a good way to do it. And then the last piece of that is it is okay and, in fact, good to take breaks. So having them study for close to a full hour at a time and then getting up and walking around for a 5 to 10 minute break is a good way to have them be able to be focused, but then also get their blood pumping so they can get back into that next section.
It's great advice. It certainly is. So parents, it's time to start getting our kids ready now. Get that homework space all set up beforehand. Get their school supplies all organized and get them excited to organize their school supplies with you. Get out the Post-its and sharpen the pencils and get the books all ready and the papers all in there. And, you know, I just think it's good if we can do it together with our kids because it gets them a little bit more excited. Start putting your kids to bed earlier. Start feeding them a little bit healthier because this is going to get them ready and they will be better students as a result. And they might even just like school a little bit more because of it. So thanks so much for listening. And our expert guests here on Healthy Children are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. You can listen to our shows on radiomd.com. You can listen to them on iHeartRadio, iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, and rate and review the show. That way all of us get to listen and learn from these experts together. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.